Welcome to the podcast of Pastor Joseph Castillo from All Nations International Fellowship. Enjoy this podcast while you're doing household chores, riding your car, or even your morning devotions. I trust the living word of God to change your life forever. Visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com. But be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He prophesied it time and time and time again. Because prophecy is the creative word of God. And prophecy builds and it creates. Do you hear me? So that's why the Bible says, despise not prophecies. Amen. Now if someone says, I have a word for you, I say, praise God, speak it. And 99.9% of all my words, I don't know about you, but 99% of all the prophecies I get are always the same. You're an apostle. You're going to get 100,000. I mean, if I had 100,000 for every time I got a prophecy, I'd get 100,000. I'd be a millionaire right now. Amen. But it was building into a word release that manifested in my life. I've been prophesied. I was an apostle since 1998, time and time and time again. It was building until November 29th. When Papa Frank came down here and said God spoke to him without me even saying anything to him to ordain me. Do you hear me? So prophecy builds. Amen. Say, prophesy to me.
Prophesy to me.
Hallelujah. We should hunger for prophecy. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, desire your spiritual gifts, and the most important one is that you prophesy. Because prophecy speaks the creative will of God for your future. Prophecies are building your future. Prophecies are not predicting. Say they're not predicting. Amen. It's not psychic powers. Prophecy is not predicting. Prophecy is co-creating with God. God is speaking a word. Put it in your heart. You speak it with him. Somebody else speaks it with him. And is co-creating, laboring with God to manifest something by releasing the dabar of God. The word of God. Do you hear me? So, God uses faith-filled substance to create things. Faith was man's autopilot. We understand that how God operates. One thing that I pointed out last week in the conference there, a lot of things I don't tell you guys because you're just not there yet. Paul said, there's so many things in Christ's mysteries that I want to share with you, but I can't share it with you because you're still babes and in need of milk. And most things I don't give to us here. But when I'm on some certain conferences, so on, or sometimes I was with, remember John McBride, I was sharing things with him. He said, my God, I never saw the pastor. He said, how come you don't preach it on Sunday? I said, well, you know, we're just not there yet. You know what I mean? But we'll get there. Amen? And that's why on Sundays I try and take my time to start from very foundational things and build into it. Because we need you with all you're getting to get understanding. One thing we noticed that I shared is that man was made, and this was, you know, last week's subject at the conference, but man was made in the glory. The Bible says the Son of Man was a fire from his loins downwards, and he was a fire from his loins upwards. The Son of Man was clothed in the glory of God. Matter of fact, the throne of God and God on the throne is such a bright expression of glory that if anybody sees him, they will die. When Moses encountered a glimpse of the goodness of the glory of God, Moses, the Bible says, was transfigured. So much so that the word it says he shined. It says he shined. If you look that in the Hebrew, it says that he had the horns of an ox coming out of his head, and he glowed. So bright that if they were to look on Moses, they would die. Isn't that something? Same thing when Jesus, when he's on the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory of God comes upon him. He's transfigured. The light is shining from him. So bright. Do you hear me? Adam was made in that glory. He was made in the image and in the likeness of God. So Adam, we imagine like this kind of naked guy walking around like flesh and blood, but that's not what he looked like. He was a fire from his loins down. He was a fire from his loins up. He was radiating the bright, blinding light of God in his glory. And he operated on, faith was his autopilot. The Bible says whatever he named the animals, that's what they became. Whatever he called them, that's what they transformed into. That's why in Hebrew, oftentimes, they name the kids or they name things based upon the description of their operation. And that's also why demon spirits are named by the description of their operation. Do you hear me? Familiar spirit, spirit that acts like another thing. A spirit of cancer. A spirit that operates bringing cancer. A spirit of suicide. A spirit that makes people want to kill themselves. Things were named by the way that they operate, but it wasn't named by the way they operate. Actually, it was vice versa. They were named by the authority and the created glory of God given to man, and that's what they became and manifested. So God comes to Abram and says, I'm going to call you Abraham. So Abraham now becomes something that God creatively spoke over his life that he shall become. Because you have to understand, he was not able to give birth to children. Do you hear me? The name of Jesus, Yeshua, or Yahshua, means Jehovah's salvation. Amen. And we see that all throughout the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So man's autopilot was faith. To operate in faith. To speak words, and all of heaven backed it. It's amazing if you study this out, you find that there's something that happens when you speak Hebrew. And if you go on YouTube, you can watch scientific experiments, and they have these pink, orange, green, yellow sand. And when people sing or pray, or actually I think it's singing in Hebrew, actually, the sands turn into geometric shapes. Has anybody seen this before? It only happens in two languages, interesting enough. In Hebrew and in Sanskrit. Look it up. And I was curious, why Sanskrit? And I looked it up. And it's because Sanskrit is an early derivative of Hebrew. So we understand that French, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, these are derivatives of Latin. Somebody say Latin. Sanskrit is a derivative of Hebrew. And only scientists have found, look it up. Some of you looking at me like I'm lying to you. Look it up. These two languages, when you sing in these languages, monks chant and the rabbis sing. If you ever go to Israel, you go to the Western Wall, who's coming with me in February? Let me see your hands. Amen. Okay, only three of you. What's wrong with the rest of you? You all broke or what? You don't got no faith for the money. Is that what it is? You better get some faith. I'm preaching on faith. Don't be sitting up here saying amen. You don't believe what I'm preaching. Amen. Don't anyone tell me you're not going because of money. That's why I'm preaching faith to you. Amen. Money is not an issue. Philippians 4:19. My God supplies all my needs. The only thing you need to pray about is, Lord, do you want me to go? Because where God guides, he provides. So you don't look at your budget. If I say, let's go to Mongolia, let's go to Bhutan, let's go to Philippines, let's start a business. You don't look at your budget. You look, is this the will of God for me right now? And then you start getting your faith working. Get your faith working. Amen? So let me ask again. Who's coming to Philippines with me? I mean to Jerusalem with me next year. Okay, a few more hands. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not just preaching here because I'm entertaining you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm preaching you the word of God. Amen. And we better use it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. You come in here and you hear the word of God like this and you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Amen. We become, hallelujah, we become dull of hearing. We got to use this thing. That's why you have to use faith. Listen. If you don't work your faith, guess what? Your faith will die. You have to be believing for something. Think about it. If you're not believing for something right now, if there's nothing in your life that you're believing for, your faith is getting weaker and weaker. I used to be able to, Frank, to bench 210, 220 pounds. I used to be able to bench. I stopped benching weights for years. You know what happened next time I went to bench weights? I couldn't even lift 100 pounds. Because faith is a muscle. If you're not actively using your faith, if you're just paying your bills by your salary, and you're just getting things that you own by your money, and you're just getting your healing by the doctor, if you're not using your faith in any way, guess what? When there comes a real need, you won't even be able to rebuke a cold, let alone cancer, let alone HIV. You can't even rebuke a headache. You think you're going to get your mother delivered from cancer? Hell no. Heaven, yes. Hell no, heaven, yes. Amen. We say yes to heaven, no to hell. Amen. Do you hear me? This is why it's crucial that you're exercising your faith on something. Amen? You don't have to exercise your faith on what I'm exercising my faith on because you're different. Maybe you don't care about the things I care about, but you better be working your faith on something because the time is going to come where you're going to need faith in God, and if you ain't been working it out, so put it on something. Do you hear me? Put it on going to Israel. Put it on, what did I tell, what's his name? Andre. There he is. Remember? I said, I didn't even know your situation. And I said, don't rely on your parents next semester. God wants to do it himself. I didn't know what he got his money for, what he was doing. I didn't know anything. And you know what? He came to me a few weeks later and said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe what happened. God supernaturally provided for me outside of my parents, just like you prophesied. Because God wants to teach us to live by faith. Do you hear me? Let me tell you something. I shared this before. I'll share it with you guys. I shared this last week and last 2 weeks. And I'll share it with you guys. Hopefully, don't go over your head. I need you to listen to me closely. And you too, watching online. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, they came to him and they asked him to pay taxes. So Jesus tells his disciples, go to the water. Do you remember this? I shared this. Go to the water. I know some people weren't there all the sessions because they're like in the hallway casting out devils or something, you know. But he says, get a fish. The first fish you find, open up its mouth. Do you know the story? Does anybody here know that story? And what happens in the fish's mouth? Huh? There's a coin there. Why are we so quiet? This ain't an Anglican church. We're Pentecostal. What happens? Let me hear you. Okay, gold coins, right? He says, take that coins, pay off my taxes and yours, right? The assumption is Jesus was broke. Or maybe Jesus had come across a hard time in his ministry this month. The tithes were low. Or it was spring festival, all the teachers didn't get a salary and tithes were low. So he needed a fish to pay his bills. That's the assumption. Or maybe he forgot his wallet. He didn't have his wallet on him. That's the assumption. But you know what? The Holy Ghost told me 2 weeks ago, he showed me this. No, I didn't hear no preacher say this. The Holy Ghost showed me. He said, Jesus wasn't broke. He didn't do this because he had a need. Jesus, when he was born, was at 2 years old, was given gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And according to Hebrew scholars, it was the equivalent of millions of dollars. Look it up online. I forgot. It was 23 million or 33 million or 53. I forgot. He was rich. That's why when Joseph, his father, died, Jesus took care. I mean, you know, so to speak, because probably all the money went to his mother and father. I mean, you know. But the blessing on Jesus took care of his mother, and we know he had brothers and sisters. How many of you guys know Jesus had brothers and sisters? I didn't know that for 30 years. Amen. Or 20 years, till I got into a church to taught the Bible. Amen. Jesus had brothers and sisters. So the money that Jesus got when he was born, so catch that. Provision was there for Jesus before he even started his ministry. Provision was there for Jesus before he was even 3-4 years old. Because God didn't design for us to have to toil for provision. Provision is already provided for us in Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? So he had plenty of money. Joseph died. We believe he died. Everyone believes he died. We don't know where he went. We all believe he died. And now it's him, his mother, and his brothers and sisters, and they're all living on the blessing on him. Do you hear me? Then he calls 12 disciples, their wives and their kids, has them leave their jobs, their companies, their fishing businesses, and tells them to leave everything and follow him. Who do you think took care of them? Jesus took care of them. Do you hear me? Jesus took care of them. He had so much money that one of the disciples he chose was his accountant. What was his name? How many broke people do you know have a personal accountant? I've been doing my taxes for 20 years just like right online because my money's been so low. Hallelujah. Finally, I get to hire somebody. Praise God. That's a good blessing. Amen. That's a good problem. Amen. Do you hear me? Those who are broke, I like what Ruben says, rich people problems, you know. Rich people problems. Amen. You don't have a personal account if you're broke. So Jesus was not broke. He had plenty of money. Why did he pay the taxes with money that wasn't in his pocket? Because Jesus was trying to teach us that you don't need to rely on your own ability to meet your own needs. Go to that upper room. It's prepared for me. Go and pick up a donkey over there. It's prepared for me. He could have bought a donkey. He could have rented a room. Jesus was teaching them that the life that you're supposed to live is a life of supernatural resources. Do you hear me? He could have paid that himself. No problem. Oh, tax, yeah, I got that. But Judas. Do you hear me? Judas, take out of the bag, pay our taxes. No, you know, this time, let me not touch my paycheck. I'm going to go to Bhutan. I'm going to go to Philippines. I'm going to go to Israel. I'm not going to touch my salary. I'm going to believe God for the money. See, if you're not using your faith, if you're not practicing on anything, guess what? When you come to a real problem, you'll be calling me, asking Pastor to pray for me. You know what I found? More prayers are answered by yourself than when somebody else prays for you. How many times have I been had something and I ask people to pray for me, lay hands and pray for me, and nothing at all happens? But when I got on my knees and I got on the word of God and I prayed and I put my faith and I took it, I got it. Many times in my life, someone else praying for me, even the biggest preachers, I've been laid hands on by anybody who's anybody. Benny Hinn's laid hands on me, Carlos Anaconda, Cesar Castellanos, you know, Youngie Cho, every big name in the world, except for African names, because I'm in the West, amen. But every big name preaching in the world has laid hands on me. But you know what the greatest miracles I've gotten and greatest anointings I've gotten is from me getting with Jesus and the Word of God and using my faith myself. If you let Benny Hinn lay hands on you and you get healed, you know what happens? To many people lead those crusades, you know what happens? Do you know? Just watch Insider Edition that follows the miracles afterwards to say he's a false healer. And they find that people go back to their wheelchairs afterwards. It's not that Benny Hinn's a false healer. It's that they can't live on Benny Hinn's anointing. You can't live on my anointing. You can't live on your bishop, grand poobah, major prophet, whatever you call them. You can't live on their anointing. You have to live on the word of God yourself. Because the Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain him. Not the mantle of their big prophet, super major prophet, whatever they call them now. Do you hear me? And they get right back in the same problem. But if you ever get the miracle yourself, that's why I don't like to cast out demons all the time myself. I, oftentimes when I'm doing deliverance, I tell the person, you cast it out. Come on, I'm here with you. I hold their hand. Come on. Now you say it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You come out of me. You come out of me. And I'm getting them to work with me to drive the demon out of themselves. So when it comes back, because guess what? He's coming back. Guess what? Sickness is coming back. Guess what? You got blessed today. Poverty's going to try and come back. The Bible says he lets not go of his prisoners. He don't want to let you go. So what's going to sustain you? What's going to carry you through is your own faith. Do you hear me? What you have on the inside of you. If you're not working on it, guess what? You're getting weaker. You're getting weaker because faith is a spiritual muscle. It's a muscle right here in your spirit. Amen. Do you hear me? You better be using your faith on something. If you don't want to use it like me on colognes, I got colognes coming out of my ears. I don't know what to do with my colognes. I got so many expensive colognes. Amen. I wear a different cologne every day of the week? Hermes, Dior, Versace. I wear a different cologne every day of the week. And almost most of them, I don't buy them all. Just, I get blessed with cologne. I believe God for colognes. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? And some of you guys are wearing 30 Kwai Taobao imitations. And when people get around you, they get a headache. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Amen. Listen, there's some things you can't imitate, okay? You could buy a knockoff bag, but don't buy no knockoff cologne or something like that. Amen. If you're buying cheap cologne or cheap perfume, that's a good thing to use your faith for. That's not so, oh, I'm not selfish. I don't pray for little things like that. No, it's not about that. Come on, it's not about that. It's about using your faith to exercise on something small. Building your faith up is knowing God is your provider, knowing that he can do all things. David didn't straightway kill Goliath. Come on now. First he killed the lion, then he killed the bear, and he said, wait a minute. If God could bless you with a cologne, if God could bless you with a flight trip back home this summer, he could also bless me with my own jet too. Amen. Am I right? So you start off by working your faith on something, working your faith on something. Do you hear me? Okay, we're finished with the review. Amen. I'm sorry, but I'm honestly just finished the review. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to get past your hard heads and trying to get into your hearts. Amen. The word has to get into your hearts. Hallelujah. John 10:10-11. Let me give you a few of my bad Greek pronunciations, and then we'll wrap up today. Amen. Hallelujah. John 10:10-11 says the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's a lot you could just preach right there, but we'll get to the point. Amen. I came that they might have life. Say life. This word life is the Greek word zoe. Yeah, I did it or no? Zoe. Okay. Zoe. Hallelujah. Zoe. It means divine, uncreated, uncreated life. That is life that is self-existent, life that is God himself. God is not created. It's incorruptible, indestructible, eternal life of God, the Zoe life. Now you understand, Greek was one of the best things to happen to the world. Because the Greek language, I've seen a Greek dictionary. The Greek language, Lord Jesus, if you think China has a lot of characters, the Greek language is one of the most extensive languages ever known to the world. Chinese is so simple that two Chinese people talking to each other don't understand each other. And they'll say like, oh, Yoguai, oh, yo as in yo as in jayo, or yo as in yo as in right, you know. And they have to interpret to each other what they're trying to say. But Greek, on the other hand, is such an exhaustive language. So when the New Testament was penned, and even the Septuagint, even the Old Testament using the Greek, it really brought something beautiful to the world. It really helped us to grasp and understand a lot more. So the Greek word zoe in the language itself has a particular meaning. But when we look at it as applied to what Jesus is saying here, it takes on a greater meaning rooted in the Word of God. So he says that I've come that they might have zoe life. That's the abundant life. Superior in quality and greater in quantity. Amen. Abundantly. That you'd have it abundantly. Say abundantly. Abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's a couple more words in the Greek used for life. We see in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, it talks about the anxieties and the pleasures of this life. That word life is bios. Vios. I'm wrong again. Vios. Vios. I forgot the B is a V. They didn't do that on my website, though. Vios. B-I-O-S. It's where we get the English word biology. Biology. Amen? That's another word for life, but this kind of life in the Greek refers to the physical body. So this is where we get the biology from. Then there's another one. Suhe, suhe, P-S-U-C-H-E, suhe, P-S-U-C-H-E, suhe. I have a suhe from my website. This is where we get the Greek word psychology. See he. See he. Okay, I put hey, see he, amen. Hallelujah. We're just going to have to just mute them in the future. Yeah. Or assist me, amen, amen. Hallelujah. We see this word life in Matthew 16:25. It so says, for whoever wants to save his life shall lose it. This is speaking of the human soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your psychology. You that want to save your psyche will lose it. Amen. But here in John 10:10, we see another kind of life. It's the Zoe life. It's the same life that we find in John chapter 1, verse 4. John 1:4 says this. In him, say that's Jesus. In him was life. This is not the vios. This is not the suhi. This is not the psyche or the biology life, the physical body life, or not the mental life. This is another life, a divine life. And in Jesus was divine life. And this life was the light of men. This Zoe life is light. It reminds me a couple weeks ago, Dr. Frank Summerall, after being here with us for a month preaching, he went back home and he had a heart attack. If Mama Karen, if you're watching, I hope I can share this testimony. Amen. And she was praying for him, and we were praying here, and he was in the hospital bed, totally out of his mind, eyes glossed over. He was not there, it seemed, in his spirit, in his body. And he was being surrounded by demons all around his bed, that he was hearing these cuss words, these swear words. And he told Karen, he said, I'm hearing all these cuss words in my mind, just loud voices, cursings and curse words. The demons had surrounded to take his life. And he gets a call from a man of God, powerful man of God, named Rodney Howard Brown. She's in the hospital room. Rodney Howard Brown calls. And he says, put me on speaker. So she takes the phone. She puts it on speaker. She holds it up. And Brother Brown, Rodney Howard Brown, how many of you guys know Rodney Howard Brown? Powerful man of God. He's one of the great generals of the world. He says, Brother Frank. And as soon as he said that, she told me that the entire hospital room, the air, the oxygen, the hydrogen, the molecules of the room were energized with Zoe. She said the Zoe life of God filled the room. And he sat up immediately in his bed. The gloss in his eyes disappeared. And he said, yeah, Brother Rodney, I'm here. Just snapped out of it, came back to life immediately. And Brother Rodney said, I've been to the Lord about you, Papa Frank. Or he didn't call Papa Frank, Brother Frank. I call him Papa, amen. He says, the Lord said it's not your time. And you're not going to die. And he prayed for him right there. And from that moment forward, you see him now on Facebook preaching all the time, praying for people, right? Zoe life entered the room. And Mama Karen told me, she said, you know what? We don't really preach on Zoe like we used to back in the 80s and 70s. We need to preach on that again. And I know about the Zoe life. I've learned about it, but I never preached it to you. Amen. The life of God. That life is the light of man. What is that light? It's the creative power. It's the glory of God. It's the creative, self-sustaining light that when God said, let there be light, the universe began to expand and is still expanding today, billions of years later, at the speed of what? Light. At the speed of light. The Zoe life of God. Do you hear me? Jesus said, I've come to bring you this light. I've come to bring you this life. By our natural birth, we human beings possess soulish life and physical life. But when you're born again, where's my shouting corner? You're not getting it, are you? When you're born again, you have Zoe life on the inside of you. Amen. That's the life that can quicken your mortal body. My pastor, Bill Winston, was in Nicaragua. And he was preaching on the kingdom of God and the life of God. And he said, now, let's be born again. He led people to Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, saved. He said, okay, to this lady, you, come here. You just gave your life to Christ today. She said, yes. You just received the Holy Spirit today. She said, yes. He said, all right, you stand here. He said, all right, you, sir, in the wheelchair, come up here. Come up in the wheelchair. Pastor Winston said, okay. Now you just got saved. You just got born again. So now you have the Zoe life of God in you. You're going to lay hands on this man, and you're going to release the Zoe into his body, commanding to be healed. So the lady, she goes over there. She says, what do I do? What do I do? He says, just put your hand on his back like this. He says, now command him to be healed. So she says it in Spanish. The man jumps out of the wheelchair, healed by the power of God. The lady starts screaming, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh, it's me. Oh, you know, she's in China, Spanish, you know. She's praising, she's freaking out. Because she just lay hands on a crippled and he was healed. How was she able to do that? Because she just was born again. She just received the Zoe life. And she just heard the word that now she has this life. So she has faith to use it. And she lay hands on him and healed him. And most Christians can't lay hands on their back and get rid of a back pain after being saved for 20 years. It's a joke. It's because we're just you know, having religious services. Once you know what's on the inside of you, and you believe it, you can release it. And if you believe it, you can release it, and you can see it manifest. So you have to be practicing this somewhere, somehow. Do you hear me? Todd Bentley was in Mexico, went into a hospital for deaf, the Deaf Children Hospital, cleared out the entire hospital. Every kid healed. Cleared out the entire deaf hospital. I told Mongolia, take me to the hospice. I'm going to have a healing crusade in the cancer hospice. because I believe I have Zoe life. And if you don't start practicing it, and you think just once in a blue moon you're going to pray for someone, you're going to see a miracle, no, don't work like that. You understand me? You have to believe it and use it and practice it and grow in it just like a muscle. Do you hear me? So all these things are already inside of you. Say, it's inside of me. If you're born again, it's already inside of you. Matthew 12, 33 to 37. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good. Say fruit. You see, God's looking for fruit in your life. Amen. I love healing the sick, casting out demons, supernatural money, walking in prosperity. Why? Because that's my fruit. That's fruit I'm developing. Jesus is going to come and look at our fruit. Do you hear me? Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. You sit up in church with no fruit, looking like thinking we're a good tree. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when your mouths are evil? When you're evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Christians cussing themselves. I don't have money. I don't know if I could do that. I don't have tuition, or, you know, oh, well, you know, I don't have that anointing, or I don't, you know, we act like we're Christians, we're trees, but we're cursing our own selves. Do you hear me? I don't tell my son we can't afford that. My son always says to me, oh, Daddy, we probably can't afford that. I said, we could afford it. It's just not, you know, I don't want to. It's not in the plan. It's not in the vision to buy for you. But we could afford it. Because I don't want him to train to speak, you know, on the outside a Christian, but what comes out of his mouth is unbelief. Do you hear me? Jesus calls unbelief evil. When they couldn't cast the devils out, what did he say to his disciples? You wicked and evil generation. Unbelief is evil. Do you hear me? And we should not have no part of unbelief, no part of evil. Amen. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, it's you know, January. I feel my cold coming on. But you a Christian? You ain't a Christian. I mean, you believe in Jesus, but you speaking like an unbeliever. And I'm not surprised, because that's what's in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you hear me? I know this is uncomfortable for some of you guys, but we have to raise the bar, okay? We have to raise the bar. That's the Hebrew, the bar, the word of God, amen. We have to raise the bar, hallelujah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you believe, you speak. For a good person, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good. The evil person, out of the evil treasures of his heart, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 23:7 says like this, for as the man thinks in his heart, so is he. How you see yourself and how you think in your heart is how you will be. So we're talking about retraining our autopilot. On my car, we don't have that option, but when I rent cars in America, we have this called cruise control. Cruise control. It's an autopilot. And if I set that cruise control for 50 miles an hour, and I'm going up a mountain, the engine will kick in, and it will burn more fuel, and it will accelerate on its own. Do you hear me? To maintain that level of 50 miles an hour. Or if I'm going down a mountain, the gravity is pulling the car down, the car will naturally go faster. But what happens is the cruise control slows it down to maintain that course. So human beings, We live 90% or more of our life on just cruise control. We don't actively make decisions most times. We're already set in our ways and our schedule. We operate on the cruise control. You get a cold, you go directly to the medicine cabinet. You go directly to the doctor. That's your cruise control, okay? Now, I'm not judging you for, you know, in China, they all go for the Dajen. They feel a little stuffy nose. Oh, go to the hospital. Dajen, Dajen, Dajen. And you go there and you got all these old ladies there with the Dajen. That's the thing they put in their arm. I don't even know what they're putting in themselves. I don't know, antibiotics or something, you know. That's their cruise control. But as a believer, our autopilot has to be reset to a faith life, to a belief life. Instead of reaching over for the medicines, we should be first reaching for Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. Do you hear me? Because our autopilot must be different than the world's. Instead of saying, I don't know if I could go to Israel or something like that because of the money or on this mission trip, whatever. Our autopilot should be like, well, yeah, it's not even a thought about what you have. But Lord, do you want me to go? So we have to retrain our autopilot to be people of faith that can believe for the impossible. Because we're not designed to live by the armor of the flesh, by the toil of our sweat. That, my friend, is the curse. That is not God's design, not God's intent for his children. Do you hear me? Amen. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the tree of life. But we'll have to do this a little bit later on. Amen. That tree of life, we see in Revelations, we see in Genesis, the tree of life is the Zoe life of God. If you go to Revelations, you look at life, the tree of life is the word Zoe, referring to the tree of life that was in the garden and is also in the heavenly Jerusalem. So I'm going to break this down. We're going to get into this. I'm going to show you some mysteries if you are hungry enough to receive it. I have some mysteries to give you. Amen. I feel like it's not fair that I'm giving everyone else the mysteries and not my own church. Amen. But if you're hungry for it, I'll give it to you. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the tree of life. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Have you ever wondered why God reacted or so overreacted when Adam ate the fruit? Yeah. Doesn't it seem a bit of overkill that he would make such a big thing and big deal about eating a little fruit, kicking them out of the garden and all these things? I'm going to show you a mystery of what really happened there and why there was such a big deal, why it is such a big deal, and what God is going to do from here forward. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to also discuss with you a little bit about the cherubims and the seraphims and the flaming sword that turns every way in the garden. Amen. So we can get an idea and an image of where the Lord wants to take us as a church. Amen. Amen.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And he sent his son Jesus to die for you. And through him, you can turn from your way of doing things to his way. And his way is the right way, because he made you. And he made you for a purpose, and he knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.